coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Love Letters, a Bible study on the epistles with Pastor Arno Bessel of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon.
Welcome to the series of Bible studies on the first letter of the Apostle Paul to Timothy. Our last study focused on the divine expected qualifications of overseers and deacons. God desires that they are not only academically prepared to carry out their job, but that they also have the spiritual and moral virtues that the pastoral and diaconal offices require. In the present study, we shall consider words the Apostle Paul addresses to young Pastor Timothy in relation to false teachings. We will also consider how the Apostle encourages Timothy to be a good servant of Christ Jesus, holding fast to the sound doctrine, leading a godly life, and teaching Scripture accordingly. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 5, we read as follows. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter days some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. The Apostle Paul may be referring here to specific revelation given to him by the Holy Spirit concerning apostasy, that is, the departure from the faith. During his ministry, Jesus gave warnings in this respect. In Matthew chapter 24, verses 10 and 11, are registered the following words of Jesus. Many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. Again, in Mark chapter 13, verse 22, Jesus declares, false Christ and false prophets will arise and perform signs and wonders to lead astray, if possible, the elect. So Paul warns Timothy about the events to take place in latter times, that is, not only the last days before Christ's second coming, but during the entire New Testament era. Sadly, some will depart from the faith, says the apostle. They had been granted faith in Jesus by the Holy Spirit and were believing members of the church, but unfortunately they turned away from Christ, thereby rejecting the gift of salvation. Unfortunately, believers fall in the trap of Satan and are led astray. They reject the gospel of Jesus Christ and devote themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared. They gear their attention to demonic spirits or false teachers who have wandered away from the truth and induce others to do the same. Since Satan is a liar and the father of lies, he uses human teachers to convey lies to people. The aim of Satan is to deceive through teachings of demons those who are in the true faith. Satan and demons constantly work the deceptions that corrupt and pervert God's word. Paul describes deceitful spirits and false teachers as liars whose consciences are seared. The verb sear is originally a medical term referring to cauterization. False teachers can teach their hypocritical lies because their consciences have been desensitized, as if all the nerves that made them feel had been destroyed, and turned into scar tissue by the burning of demonic deception. Consequently, they are unable to distinguish between right and wrong. In Ephesus, where Timothy worked as a pastor, false teachers forbade marriage and demanded abstinence from food. Although God does not impose marriage, He does not forbid it either. Although fasting might be a good practice, it is not required by God either. So by forbidding marriage and demanding abstinence from foods, false teachers were rejecting God, who gives the gifts of marriage and food. Since marriage and food are God's creation, they shall be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. The apostle stresses the fact that everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. Believers are to enjoy God's good gifts and be grateful for them. Dear listener, are you married? Then enjoy marriage and give thanks to God for it. Do you have food, drink, clothing, shelter, and so on? Then enjoy these divine gifts and give thanks to God for them. Think of any other gift that God graciously has granted to you. Remember that everything created by God and given to His children is good and deserves thanksgiving. The Apostle Paul continues to write in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Paul, the experienced apostle, continues to advise the young pastor Timothy. Paul encourages Timothy to teach the words of the faith and the good doctrine. Timothy himself would benefit from it, and at the same time, the believers in Ephesus would be built up in Christ. Continual feeding on the truth of Scripture is essential to the spiritual health of all Christians, but especially of spiritual leaders. Only by reading the Word of God, studying it, meditating on it, and mastering its contents can a pastor fulfill his office. Paul also recommends strongly Timothy to reject irreverent, silly myths. Apparently, in Ephesus, it was quite common to be exposed to fictitious, legendary stories that had no spiritual value. Instead of listening to those useless fables and engage in discussions, Timothy is advised to train himself for godliness, that is, to persist in training or exercising himself and living out what God teaches. Bodily training and discipline are beneficial in many ways, but only temporarily for earthly life. In contrast, godliness, that is, remaining rooted in God's Word and growing in Christ, are beneficial for the present life and also for the life to come. Back to the Bible text, we read in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, for to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. What just has been said in the preceding verse about training in godliness is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Paul uses this phrase several times to summarize key doctrines. By the way, all the teachings of scriptures are trustworthy and deserve full acceptance because they are God's word, and as a result, they are true. Paul, the apostles, Timothy, and other missionaries engaged intensely in the work of spreading the trustworthy gospel of Christ Jesus. They toiled and strived under very hard circumstances to proclaim godliness and its promise for the life to come. Those messengers of God and all believers set their hope on the living God. All who hope in the living God are never disappointed because He fulfills His promises and grants His children the treasures He has prepared for them through Jesus Christ. For this Jesus is the Savior of all people who believe in Him. He saves from the deadly consequences of sin. He saves from the traps set by Satan. He saves from the terrifying punishment in hell. He saves from death, granting life, even life never ending. Once again, the apostle instructs Timothy what to do. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, "Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity." Which things should Timothy teach? The things that Paul just mentioned in the previous verses. "Let no one despise you for your youth," Paul says to Timothy. How old was Timothy? We don't know for sure. In other contexts, the word youth refers to people in their 30s. In first century Jewish culture, people were considered youth up to the age of 40. And Greek culture placed great value on age and experience. Timothy was probably in his 30s, so still young by the standards of those days. He would have to earn respect by being a godly example. Because he had been with Paul since a young teenager, Timothy had much experience to mature, so that looking down on him because he was under 40s was inexcusable. Paul encourages Timothy to set to believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Much can be achieved by being an example or a role model. In our days, artists and sports people play significant roles in the lives of people, especially youngsters, either in a positive or in a negative way. These personalities become idols and are imitated in their language, attitudes, and actions. In the case of Timothy, he is advised to be a Christian example to believers in five areas, namely, in speech or language, in conduct or behavior, in love, in faith, in purity or decency. Timothy's exemplary life in those areas would offset the disadvantage of his youth. In other words, by his exemplary conduct, Timothy would be able to silence those who might be inclined to despise him because of his youth. Whom do you take as examples or role models? You may admire and applaud artists or sports personalities for their skills and achievements. Some of them may even be Christians. So nothing wrong with paying homage to them and perhaps taking inspiration from them. However, not everything that in the world is considered success and worthy to pursue has real value from a Christian perspective. Go to the Bible and you will find many great characters who are examples in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. None of them has been perfect. All of them have transgressed God's commandments, and sometimes in shameful ways. However, God worked in and through those characters and set them as examples to be followed. And then there are contemporary people who are great examples for us. Look around yourself, in your own extended family, in the church, in the social community. Certainly you will find people who set amazing examples of Christian life. Speak to them, watch them, learn from them. Above all, fix your eyes on Jesus. In the first place, Jesus is Savior. Besides that, He is also an example, the greatest example in all respects. Follow in His footsteps and imitate Him. Finally, Paul gives some additional recommendations to Timothy. We read in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 13 to 16. Until I come, devote yourself to public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. Already earlier in the letter, Paul mentioned his desire to visit Timothy in Ephesus. However, he couldn't tell when that would possibly happen. So in the meantime, Timothy should devote himself to public reading of Scripture. Reading refers to the custom of public reading of Scripture in church's worship service, followed by the exposition of the passage that had been read. Paul is not saying that Timothy himself must be the reader of Scriptures in public worship, but that he should exercise care which portions of the Scriptures were being publicly read in the Ephesian congregation. Timothy should also devote himself to exhortation, that is, to admonish and encourage the believers based on publicly read portions of Scripture. This means preaching. Besides, Timothy should also devote himself to teaching God's Word. Here we have a concise summary of the pastor's service: worship, preaching, and teaching. Paul recommends Timothy not to neglect the gift he had, which was given to him by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on him. This was a special gift of God's grace that enabled Timothy to carry out faithfully his ministry in Ephesus. This gift was imparted through the proclamation of God's word when Timothy was publicly placed in his position as pastor, comparable to the ordination and or installation of pastors today. Timothy's gift was mediated through the church and her official representatives, that is, the elders. They laid their hands on Timothy as a visible signal of his placement in the office of the holy ministry. Additionally, Paul encourages Timothy to practice the teachings given to him, to immerse himself in them, so that all would see his progress. Moving forward, advancing in learning and understanding are goals Timothy shall pursue. Paul also tells Timothy to watch himself and his teaching. As a pastor, Timothy was in charge of the spiritual well-being of the members of the church. However, he should also care for himself, for his personal spiritual well-being, for his own faith. If Timothy and the members of the congregation remained in the faith, both would be saved. As far as we are concerned, we also shall immerse in the teachings of Scripture and make progress. More importantly, being kept in the true faith in Jesus leads to eternal salvation. Thank you for reflecting with us in this study. Join us again next time.
This study has been prepared and presented by Pastor Arno Bessel. He serves St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. The congregation at St. Peter's is expecting to meet you and to share the good news of Christ with you. Divine services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. and Bible studies on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more details, visit our website, stpeterslutherans.co.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, St. Peter's Lutheran Church, Plymouth, England. For questions or comments about any issues raised in this program, write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Check our program online and stay tuned.